Dingley, dingley, eggman.
Welcome to the Supercast.
Let me see with my imagination.
To the Supercast.
I don't understand the numbers.
Welcome to the one, the only Supercast.
Welcome, everyone, to Tupacast Episode 7. Tonight, I get the pleasure to interview my good buddy, Sean Johnson. Some of you probably know him from Throwback Reviews podcast, as well as the Average Runner podcast. But tonight, we're going to get to know a little bit more about Sean. So, Sean, how you doing? Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm doing pretty good. You can probably tell in my voice a little bit. I'm a little stuffed up, and it's fortunate. It's not allergies. I have a cold here on August 11th. I have a head cold. So, but normally, yeah, I don't generally have allergies or anything. So this kind of, took me by surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of crazy right now. I guess for the past maybe month here in Texas where I lived, it's been over 100 degrees like every day. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's like run from your house to your car, from your car to your office, and then back.
Yeah. Yeah, my car doesn't have air conditioning, so I have to have the windows down. So it's like I sweat whenever I go anywhere.
You don't have it or it doesn't work?
It doesn't work. It hasn't worked for about 10 years, so I just got used to it.
Oh my gosh. You are a cowboy.
That's crazy. Let's find out a little bit more about you, Sean. So Sean Johnson's your name. Do you have any aliases? Is there anything that you go by online or anything different?
Not really. I mean, the Average Runner on like Instagram or, but yeah, pretty much just Sean Johnson.
Okay. It's not like
my Twitter is @ThrowbackReview. I had started a new one for the podcast, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it all in one place. So it's @ThrowbackReview is kind of my throwback reviews, and then it's just my running and then my personal kind of Twitter account. All in one.
Okay, so Studley Runner, that's not you?
That's not me. But I'll check and see if that one's taken.
All right. Okay, so if you don't mind, why don't you just sort of give me your life story in a nutshell?
All right. Well, I was born in Western New York. Grew up just outside of Buffalo in a town called Tonawanda, city of Tonawanda. And then, like a lot of kids of the 80s, I was a product of divorce. So moved towns. But I've always pretty much stayed in the Buffalo area. I moved out for a little bit with my wife when she had a job. We moved to Cleveland, Ohio for a few months. But and then moved back. And got a job here so we can move back home. She's not from here. She's from Syracuse, which is a little ways, about 2 hours from here.
Okay.
A Western New York guy.
When you were growing up, did you live with your mom or your dad, or did you go between?
Mainly with my mother. And, you know, I would go visit with my father, you know, one night a week for dinner and then one whole day. Just for visitation and stuff, which, you know, divorce, I mean, it sucks, but, you know, when you look at things in hindsight, it was probably the best thing. I mean, they weren't happy together and, you know, they're in different relationships now. And, it really kind of got me closer with my father afterwards. Okay. You know, he put a lot more effort into, you know, getting to have a relationship with me. So, you know, when they were married, my mom was like a stay-at-home mom. And so he worked a job. He was a postman and then he'd come home. We'd have dinner. If we needed to be reprimanded for anything, you know, my mother would tell him and he would do that. And then he would leave for his night job as a stock boy at a local grocery store and then get home late. Wow. So I really didn't see him a lot when they were married. So, like I said, divorce sucks. It's not a fun thing, but sometimes it's just, it's got to happen. And, you know, it paid off in the end. So
how old were you when that happened?
I want to say I was probably 9, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was rough. It was definitely a rough thing to go through, for years, you know, growing up, getting into teenage years, probably before that, once I started getting into my teenage years, I was pretty much settled with the way things were going. My mother was remarried. We had moved in with her new husband and his kids, and my father's remarried. Excuse me. So, but the first couple of years, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, that was rough. You know, that was rough. But again, like I said, I look back at it and I'm glad it happened because, you know, people sometimes stay together for their kids, and that's not necessarily the best reason.
I'm not
a therapist or anything, but they're happier now. So,
when you moved in with stepdad, your new siblings, did you guys get along? Or
yeah, pretty much. They were a lot older than me.
Okay,
so I think his youngest was probably, oh gosh, maybe 5 years older than me. So. But I became pretty close with my middle stepbrother. Okay. He's probably 7 years older than me. But as I became an older teenager, we became pretty close. We had some common interests and stuff. So
it all worked out. Do you have any other brothers and sisters from your?
I have a real brother, my blood brother from my okay. parents, my older brother, Scott.
Okay.
And, you know, growing up, just like I have three kids, I have two sons and a daughter, and like them, you know, we fought and everything, but, you know, we definitely had each other's backs with other people. And, as we got older, you know, when he got into his teenage years, we probably didn't hang as much, but,
okay.
When he got older and I was an older teenager, but he was already settling in with his wife at the time. Oh, we became very close, and I'd say, you know, between him and my wife, you know, those are probably my best friends, people I can go to and, you know, when I need to talk to somebody and not be judged or whatever, my brother and my wife.
Okay, cool. That's nice that you have that bond.
Yeah, it just sucks because he lives 12 hours away. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no way I'm moving to North Carolina. I'm a northern guy.
You said that you had moved with your wife to Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland, Ohio. Not for long. We were married. We didn't have any children at the time. And so I didn't really have, neither one of us had like a real career, I guess. I was working at a cookie factory, which was a cool job and everything, but it just didn't pay that well at the time. And my wife was, waitressing and bartending and stuff like that at this restaurant that she'd been with for a long time. So she ended up going to like an open interview session kind of thing for one of the airlines, Continental Airlines, okay. at a hotel. And she kind of just went like, yeah, give it a shot. And next thing you know, she'd get an interview and they'd say, okay, take this paper and go to room such and such. And she'd go there and get another interview and they'd say, okay, take this paper and go to this room now. And so she went through a series of these interviews and she's like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And it was funny because she had gone with a girlfriend who came to visit for this specific thing. And my wife ended up getting the job. So, it kind of stunk. I mean, she would be home for a while. You know, she'd be home for 3 days and then she'd be gone for four and then come home for maybe five. But, you know, three of those days she was on call. So you never knew. It was just the scheduling just kind of was rotten. I mean, we got pretty good flight benefits and I used to fly home from Cleveland to Buffalo because she'd be gone for like 3-4 days. And I would call up a buddy and say, hey, I'm going to fly back to Buffalo tonight. Cause I didn't know anybody in Cleveland. Sure. So,
okay.
So I really pursued the job that I have now. It's a factory job. I work for a major tire manufacturer, but it was one of those good factory jobs where you could raise a family on. And finally got a call for that and had an interview and got the job and we moved back to Buffalo and she resigned from that job. It was a type of job is really hard for not only a family of just a husband and wife, but I mean, gosh, if you would have kids and it's just, right. It wasn't that great. I mean, I guess the longer you're in it, you get kind of a set schedule. Okay. But, yeah, it just kind of stunk.
What'd you do at the cookie factory?
Made cookies.
Like you actually made them?
No, I worked in the back mixing department. So where we'd make the dough frosting and stuff like that. Yeah, it's not as glamorous as it sounds. But
what kind of cookies did you make?
We made they were all knockoffs, like an Oreo type sandwich cookie, and they call them duplex, where they're like vanilla and chocolate. We made figs and, you know, shortbread, stuff like that. Just like I said, it was all like knockoff stuff.
Did you get to eat as much as you want?
No. And it's funny because now I love those kind of cookies, but at the time, you know, you're working there, you come home, and now I wish I still did, but you'd come home smelling of like sugar.
Okay.
And you just, you know, you didn't want to eat right. the cookies. And it's funny because now, like, my wife and I, if we talk about it or whatever, she's like, yeah, you know, because every Friday night when we would shut down, you could go and get a package of cookies to take home or whatever, two packages. And I never would take them because I had no interest in them, you know, working there. And she's like, yeah, and you never would, you know, bring them home. I would have liked them back then. So,
right.
And now I work in a tire factory where I come home smelling of like dirty rubber and carbon and dust all over me. And it's just, I long for those days of powdered sugar on me being the worst thing.
I worked at HEB for a number of years. It's a big grocery store, a Texas chain. And I worked in a produce department so we could basically, you know, eat all the fruit and vegetables we wanted. But, you know, in an 8-hour workday, you can only eat so much fruit, you know. But we worked right next to the bakery, and whenever they would put out like cookie samples, we'd just go pig out on cookies.
Yeah.
Because you just get tired of eating fruit all day, you know.
Right. You were allowed to eat all the fruit you wanted, or you guys just ate all the fruit you wanted?
When you
sat down for the interview, they're like, yeah, one of the benefits is that when you're at work, you can eat all the fruit you want. Or was it just like, yeah, go have an apple if you want it?
Yeah, like that. Yeah. But we ate.
That's what I figured.
So the tire factory, I'm curious about that. What do you do at the tire factory? Do you make tires?
I used to be what's called a tire builder. I still work in the tire shop. There's different shops, like production shops, and then there's like support departments where they maybe, you know, they make certain materials for my department. But now my job title is I'm a servicer. So pretty much my job is I have four tire builders that it's my responsibility to have the material at their machines, whether it's what they're running or the material for maybe a tire that they're going to be changing into. And it's basically my job to keep them running. You know, they're not supposed to have, they're there to make tires. And my job is to make sure that, you know, when a roll needs to be changed, I change it at the right time to try to prevent any kind of delays or anything, but you know, it happens.
So if you're like, you know, sleeping on a job, do they like start yelling at you? Hey, Sean, where's my roll?
Not really. No one's really sleeping on the job, but no, I mean, for the most part, I mean, I've worked with these guys for a long time. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, ribbing and stuff like that, but, you know, not really. I mean, we pretty much do what we have to do to get through the day. I mean, most of us would rather have what we need to work just to make the day go by rather than one of those days where you're waiting for something. So you're not running and, you know, that's nice once in a while, but in the long run, it just makes the day go by a little bit quicker to just kind of keep going.
Sure. So you said there's four tire builders under you. Are there, I guess there's like other groups of tire builders or is that, that's not the only.
No, there's like a bunch, but I have a set. Basically like a section of guys that I take care of. And then there's other servicers that take care of other guys.
Okay. Do you hang out with the other servicers and like compare notes and stuff? Or do you just stick with your guys?
I mean, I move, my job enables me to kind of move about everywhere. I have to get different things. So, I mean, yeah, you talk with guys and everything, but.
Do you guys compete with like the other groups and see who can make the most tires or?
No.
It's not really like that.
No, I think management would like that, but no. I'm not there to break any records, you know, or
Right.
I'm just there to make an honest living, you know. I'm not lazy by any means, but I'm not going above and beyond to get a pat on the back.
Sure. So I'm still curious. How do you make a tire? Like is there like a mold?
Or? No, that's what you think. But no, it's actually layers. It's kind of hard to explain, but everything is done in steps. You would think, I mean, I thought this, you know, when I got hired, like you poured, you know, liquid rubber into like a mold and then it would pop out and that would be it. But it's nowhere near how it's done. It's unless you see it, it's kind of, it's complicated to say, but it's not a hard thing to do. I mean, you learn how to do it and it becomes so repetitive, but it's definitely not how you would think.
Okay. What do you like to do when you're not, slinging tires?
Well, I like podcasting. I've got a few shows. I don't get to do it as often as I used to. You know, I like I said, I have three kids and they're getting a little older and, you know, I've told you offline, you know, it's something I have to kind of do later at night because I have, you know, I have to help my wife take care of the house and put the kids to bed and stuff like that. And now they're on summer vacation. So it pushes things a little later. Like I definitely don't podcast as much now in the summer because of that, because I still have to get up early in the morning for other things I like doing before work, running. So I can't stay up till 12 o'clock and podcast. So now when we go back to school in a couple of weeks, maybe hopefully I could start getting more of a routine schedule, but now it's like really just kind of when I get a chance and then I can kind of nail down some sort of date on the calendar with, you know, with you, we've been trying to do this for a long time, or Rob, my co-host on Throwback Reviews, or Jason, my friend and co-host on Average Runner.
What got you into podcasting or what motivated you to want to do this?
You know, I started listening probably, I'm not even sure, maybe 2009 around there, something maybe. When I got my first iPod and I was tired of listening to like talk radio at work. You know, I always have headphones on at work. I kind of have some Bluetooth headphones that I kind of made up. I mean, they know I have them, but they're very hidden. So when like big wigs come around, if you ever see like construction guys on the side of the road, they have like those yellow muffs on their head, you know, hearing protection. I have those, but I actually took apart some Bluetooth headphones and built them into it. When the big wigs come around, like my boss knows, they all know, but you know, they don't care because I'm, you know, I'm careful and I pay attention. But if any of the big wigs come around, I can just nod to them, "How you doing?" And they have like absolutely no idea that I have stuff going on in my head muff. But I just got tired of listening to talk radio, you know, all the commercials, or you know, you take like say like a morning jock or whatever, where it's like maybe a 2 or 3 hour show, and there'd be like maybe, you know, out of 2 hours, it'd be like 20 minutes of a segment that I would look forward to listening to. Or I'd listen to like the local, you know, rock station, and it's like the same song. You know, you can only hear Led Zeppelin and, you know, all those, you know, over and over every single day. It was like, I'm sick of this. So I got an iPod because a guy at work had one. And he's like, "I don't listen to it. I put all my music on here." And I'm like, "This is crazy." And then I just started looking at podcasts, and I got totally consumed with finding, like, I mean, you go on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from, you just put in there. I mean, if you like woodworking, you do a search for woodworking, you're probably going to find woodworking podcasts, you know, where guys are talking about just woodworking. So you could, I love the idea of just finding specific topics and people were talking or whatever about that specific topic. You know what I mean? So I wasn't listening to just junk garbage out of 2 hours, 20 minutes. So, I really liked it. And then, so after a couple of years, I started listening to this show, Android App Addicts. I had got my first Android phone, and I've always been kind of techie. Well, not always, but I went on strike, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but we, went on strike at my work years ago. And during that time, I totally botched up our home computer. And so here I am on strike. I had a son and a baby, and I had no money because I was on strike. And I'm like, how am I going to get this computer fixed? My wife's going to kill me. So I had to figure out how to fix it. And once I did, I liked the process of kind of trial and error and figuring it out. And I was on the phone for like 2 days with different tech support for different companies, thinking of this is what's messing things up. And nobody could figure it out. And I finally figured it out. And I was like, wow, if I can get this. So that kind of got me into computers and repairing computers and everything. So So anyway, so now I was into Android phones and I was into kind of maybe hacking it and stuff like that. And I listened to this show, Android App Addicts, and I really, really liked it. And I just reached out to him once. I said, hey, would you know, do you ever have guests on, or would you have, you know, somebody on? They said, yeah, you want to come on? And that was the start of it. I went on as a guest host, and then I told them, hey, I'll do it whenever. And they got a hold of me like a week or two later and said, you want to come on again? I said, yeah. And then it just started turning into, you know, not a weekly thing, but I was on a lot. And then finally they're just like, you want to just come on full time? And I was like, cool. It was cool to that through the internet, I'm talking to these three other guys about something that we all have a common interest in. And then that people were listening and writing in and stuff. And I ended up doing that show for, I think around 2 years, maybe.
And, oh, wow.
And, you know, I finally left to pursue like Throwback Reviews. And I kind of, after 2 years of talking about
you got an iPhone?
No, I didn't get an iPhone, but I just didn't have the passion for like hacking my phone or trying different apps every week to, yeah, I mean, I was coming to the show or I'd be like, guys, I'm just going to wing this one. I don't have any apps.
Okay.
You know, I became good friends with the guy. So I just continued to do it. But finally I left the show and, you know, on good terms, and they kind of changed the format afterwards and they're still going. And that's when I really started focusing on Throwback Reviews. I was doing the two of them kind of overlapping for a little bit.
Okay.
And then just kind of led from there. I had Rob O'Hare on and from You Don't Know Flack and Sprite Castle, and he's got a whole bunch of shows, but had him on, and I was just like, wow, this dude is like a perfect fit for the show, and asked him if he wanted to come on permanent, and the rest was history. Now we're still going strong after a couple of years. We probably put an episode out a month now. It's really, he's got two kids, he's busy, I'm busy. So it's really more, you know, because Throwback Reviews is mainly 80s movies that we, you know, watch and kind of unseriously review, I guess. It's not, we don't take ourselves serious at all. Okay. But it's really just the movies now have become kind of like the magnet to bring us together to have, you know, one night a month where him and I can just kind of hang out, you know, and
sure,
talk.
Yeah.
And it's, we'll bring us together. Yeah. So we become really good friends. He actually came and he visited me a couple months ago and met my family. They loved him. He loved them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's a real good dude.
So the movies that you talk about on Throwback are all like retro 80s kind of movies, right?
For the most part, 80s movies. I think we've done maybe two 70s, maybe three or four 70s movies. Okay. But for the most part, yeah, they're 80s movies. Or we've had a couple shows, maybe three shows where we had like a top, okay, you know, where we talked about growing up, building forts or, you know, skateboarding and stuff like that. But for the most part, yeah, it's we pick an 80s movie and there's no rhyme or reason. I know I'm a complete pain in Rob's ass because we'll be like, all right, we're doing this movie next. And we had one set to record tomorrow. And about an hour before I got on here with you, I sent him Voxer, and which is just a app that we have where we can kind of talk like walkie talkies. And I said, you want to change that movie to this movie? And he's always just like, no problem. You know,
nice.
So, but I'm always changing it. We used to try to announce what the next movie would be. And I just said, you know what, let's stop because I'd always change. I'm guilty of that.
Is the next movie going to be Top Gun?
It is not going to be Top Gun. I think that will be episode 2000. So you can hang on that long.
So, you do Throwback Reviews. You also started the Average Runner podcast. So what's that one about?
That came about, I am a runner. I love running. I love talking about running. And the funny, it's not funny, but you know, everybody at work, they all know I run. They know what races I usually have coming up, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's one of those things where I don't just start talking to people about it. But if you ask me, I'm just like, well, you should probably just maybe pull up a chair because I'm going to, you know, if they're like, oh, how was your race this weekend? I'm like, well, you got a minute. And that's, I mean, a lot of runners are guilty of that because we just, you know, we love running and for whatever reason it is. And so I kind of started it to be honest, maybe take a little bit off of my wife for one, because she's not a runner, but she's very calm about it. But I can tell, you know, when I start talking to her and her eyes just start to kind of glaze over, or she's just doing something. And I know she, and it's not that she's trying to be like jerky or anything. It's just, you know, I'm sure it's quite boring, and I try my hardest to not talk too much about it with her, but it's, you know, it's hard. So that was one of the reasons why I started, because I love running and I love talking about it. So my co-host, Jason, is also our friend. Him, Jason and his wife and their son, we all get together with my family. We go on vacation with them. We get together a lot. And I approached him once. Now, Jason's never really listened to podcasts. So he's never participated in a podcast and didn't really know much about it. And I said, look, got a proposition for you. You can tell me no, you can think about it, whatever. I said, but what do you think about, you know, doing a podcast with me about running, where we just kind of, in a nutshell, it's more of an audio running journal, I guess, in a sense. I mean, we talk about things that we have coming up. We talk about things we've done, what we want to do, how our, you know, quote unquote training is going, what we've been up to. It's really just us kind of talking and maybe sharing some of the things that either work or don't work for us, but we don't by any means come across going, you need to do intervals these days and you need to do this, that, you know, we're not like that, because we don't, it's really just what's working for us. And maybe something that we're doing works for somebody listening. Maybe it doesn't, but maybe they have something they could suggest to us. So, you know, we're just trying to connect with other runners that may want to listen to it, and that like us, I mean, I listen to a lot of running podcasts anyway. So I just, it's something that's been a huge part of my life the past couple years, but really this year it's really gotten to become big in my life. I mean, it's helped me with the way I eat, you know, how I feel. Just in general, I mean, I'm going to be 41. I'm not getting younger, you know? And so, but I feel the healthiest I've been my entire life. I mean, so I feel great. And I like to push myself. You know what I mean? Like the one thing we do talk about is like, you know, if we do say you got to do this, it's, you got to just run for you, you know, the, you know, yourself, you don't compare yourself with people. I mean, I used to do that and wonder, why can't I get any faster? Or why this or that? You know, we're all different. You just got to do what works for you. And you know, runners in general are pretty open to, like, you know, talk about what works for them and what, or maybe trying to get a tip from you or whatever. So,
okay.
That was my long-winded, I just like running and I like talking about it.
No, I totally understand. When you're passionate about something, you want to talk about it and share about it. And when somebody, you know, expresses interest, you have a lot to say. I totally get that.
Yeah. You know, honestly, it's probably the first thing in 40 years that I've really just, I mean, I've had things where I'm interested in stuff, and I'm sure my wife at one point was like, here's a number or whatever that he's all into for the month or the whatever. But really, I mean, it really is the first thing where I've kind of gone about it myself. I've done research and I'm learning constantly, but I'm, you know, for me personally, I'm getting quote better, you know, I'm learning things. I'm trying to, you know, excel in it, for personal reasons, you know, and health reasons. And that alone, I mean, I've always been, you know, not that I ate horrible, but I didn't, you know, I ate the probably standard American diet of fast foods and this and that. And I'm constantly taking, you know, Tums and this and that, and oh, my stomach. And like, I'm not like that at all anymore because of running. And then I started eating better. The two kind of play off each other.
Okay.
Make easier, you know, it's easier to eat better because I feel better. And then the running makes me feel better. So the two of them just work together. So
with the running, what do you run? You run just, around the block? Do you run 5Ks? What?
I've run a lot of 5Ks. I've only run a couple 10Ks.
Okay.
Couple half marathons, and then I just did my first marathon this year back in May. I completed my first one, and
awesome.
Yeah, so I was real happy about that. Wasn't sure if it was going to happen, and just kind of put my nose to the grind, and to be honest, probably didn't train as well as I should have, but it was at the end of May, and, you know, coming off the spring and here in winter in Buffalo, it was kind of tough for me, but I thought, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And my mindset was I wanted to do it. I wanted to run a marathon, and I wanted to run the Buffalo Marathon. And I thought if I don't try to run it, then the day of the marathon, I'm not going to be in it, and I'm going to be upset that I didn't even try. You know, I'd be like, oh, well, maybe I would have. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I thought if I try and I put an honest effort into getting myself prepared to do it, and I'm not, and I don't think I'm ready, then at least I know I gave it an effort, and I'll continue to grow, and then the following year I get it. But it got to a point where it was like a couple of weeks out, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna do it. And
it was a great couple weeks.
Well, I mean, I had been training, but I had been waiting to register, and the price goes up.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, the prices go up for these big races, like every couple of weeks or months. Sure. they go up. So I was like, well, I better, you know, it's gonna go up again. So I'm just gonna pull the trigger and do it. And it was great. It was an awesome experience. I'm going to run it next year, and I have another one here in November that I'm planning to run, and actually trying to right now in the process of trying to train for a 50K, which is I think it's 30 miles, 30 or 31. I think it's 30.1 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, I'm treating that the same way I did the Buffalo Marathon, where it's like, I'm going to at least try to train. And if I get to it where I'm like, well, maybe I'm not quite ready to add on the extra 4 miles of a marathon, then I won't do it. But, you know, I feel like I have to try. I have to push myself, you know, but I have to be smart about it too. So
what draws you to the long distance running instead of just, you know, like running a mile? Like,
they're totally different, okay, obviously for mileage wise, but so take like a 5K, which is 3.1 miles. And then you take, a marathon or like a half marathon, which is 13.1. You don't run them the same. Like a 5K. And what I mean by that is if you're running to try and get a personal record or to try and even, I'm always trying to get first place in my age group. I know I'll never get first place overall in a 5K. I'm too old. I'm not going to get as fast as these younger guys. But I've been having pretty good success in my age group this year. So for me in a 5K, I'm just going all out. I mean, there's very little pacing in a 5K for me. I'm trying to, but it's hard because it's only 3 miles and there's not a lot of time in 3 miles to make up. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, sure.
With like a half marathon, you can pace yourself. You don't just go all out, or most people don't just go all out like you would a 5K. So I like them both. I like pushing myself to where I'm at my limit, but then I'm done. And in a 5K, but I also just really like distance running. It's just, you know, I don't. One might think, oh boy, that for that long, what goes through your mind? Stuff that stresses me. Nothing stresses me out when I'm running. It's weird, but like if I'm stressed out, I'll go and do that distance run, but I don't dwell on whatever it is that's stressing me out. It's usually the first thing from my mind. And depending on how I feel, you know, I generally, if I'm going out for like a distance run or something, like this past weekend, I was like, you know, I need to get a nice long run in. I haven't had a real nice long run since the marathon. And so I thought, well, if I get 13 miles in on Saturday, maybe 15 would be nice. And I ended up doing 18 because everything was just clicking. You know, I had a nice pace. I was trying to just go by how my body felt and not really go upon. I have a TomTom watch, which gives me pace and distance and all that kind of stuff, tracks me. But try not to go by that, just more so go by how my body was feeling.
Okay, sure.
And it's just, I don't know, I just love it, man. I really do.
Did you run as a kid, or is this just something one day you were like, I'm just going to go run, honey, I'll be back in 20 miles?
Yeah, no, I mean, just running like a normal kid playing or whatever. But
right.
I started a couple years ago, or actually it was like 3 summers ago was my first race, probably about this time, actually 3 years ago. I did the color run, which is
I've done one of those.
Yeah, they're just, it's just like a fun run. You get a bib, but there's really no timing or anything. I think the bib is more just to make you feel like you're hardest. You know what I mean? Like there's no timing, no prizes or anything like that. And that was fun to start with, but I'd say probably that spring we had some friends over and they were talking about, this guy was, you know, it was Jason, my co-host. He was talking about doing a Tough Mudder, which is an obstacle course race.
Okay.
And then we had some other friends that were talking about doing, I think it was like a Color Me Rad or something. And I said, you know what? Just hearing them, I go, maybe I'll do something this year. Maybe I'll run a 5K. And one of them was like, you're going to do it. And, they kind of rubbed me the wrong way, you know? And I didn't ask. I just sat there quiet and kind of like was just letting it brew in my head. Like, did they just say that because they thought I just won't do it? Or did they say that because they don't think I can do it? You know, I didn't know how to take it. And I guess I should have, in hindsight, maybe I should have said, I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? But I'm glad I didn't, because that motivated me. I don't like being told I can't do something.
Sure.
So that motivated me. I mean, for months, Christopher, I kind of stewed over it. And then I finally was like, all right, I'm going to go out. And then it was all downhill from there. Once I did it, I just kind of was like, wow, this is awesome.
You mentioned Tough Mudder. Have you ever done like an obstacle race, or is that not your thing?
Yeah, it's not really my thing. I was really gung ho to do one after I started running, and my and Jason had talked about it. I was pretty gung ho about doing one, but then I don't know, that kind of passed real quick. I mean, I give people that do them all the credit in the world. I mean, they're definitely called tough for a reason. You know, my brother in North Carolina, he does the Spartan series.
Okay, sure.
So, and that's his thing. But as far as like just distance running, he wants nothing to do with that. So it's just kind of, personal, you know, preference, you know, what you like.
Sure.
I just like to run and not stop. I don't want to mess with obstacles. Plus, honestly, I mean, it's just like one more, you know, way to get hurt, I guess.
Yeah, some of those are pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So when you run, do you listen to music or podcasts, or do you just
Depends. It all depends. I've gotten more to nothing.
Okay.
But it all depends. I mean, I used to run to music all the time. I used to, you know, listen to like techno, I guess, type music or something, you know, with really high beats per minute type music.
Okay.
I get you pumped up. But I mean, now.
Like the Aladdin soundtrack?
Yeah, kind of. Or, yeah, something like that. But as of recent this year, I basically stopped listening to music when I race.
Okay.
And I found it actually kind of helps. I don't know why, it just does. And even Jason, my buddy, he's kind of the same way now.
Really? So like even on like the marathon, you don't, or maybe like a little bit, or?
You know, I tried in the marathon. I think I got to about mile 12 and I put my headphones on and took them off after like 5 minutes. Like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. And okay. 'Cause it was such an experience.
Sure.
There was so many people. There was like 15,000 people, and it was both the Buffalo Marathon and the Half Marathon, and we all started at the same time. We all ran the same course. Obviously, the Half Marathoners, when we got to a certain point, they finished, and we turned and kept going, and then the playing field got very thinned out. At one point, I'm running with like hundreds of people, and then I turn a corner, and now there's like someone there. Yeah, there wasn't, and then I kind of got more into groups, but that was more just it was such a crazy experience. I did put music on towards the end because I got to a point where I was the marathon was very it was tough physically at a certain point. Like the first 14 miles, I was like, man, this is a piece of cake, I'm feeling great. And then by mile 21, it started to kind of hit me where I might have went out a little too fast in the beginning and kept the pace going. I mean, when I look at my pacing for the whole thing, they stayed pretty tight, but I probably should have slowed the first few miles down in the beginning. But it's hard. I mean, my first one, and there's just so many people, and I knew that I knew that, but It was just the marathon was both physically hard, but it was mentally, after, like I said, when I started getting into like 17, 18 miles, it started becoming an emotional roller coaster, kind of like highs and lows. And there was points where I was like, what am I doing? Like, not what am I, like, am I going to do this again? Cause my idea of going in, like, this is the first of many marathons, you know, like I want to do this. And I got to a point where I was like, holy crap. Like, am I going to ever want to do this again? Like, I wasn't saying I wouldn't, but I'm like, am I going to want to do this again?
Okay.
And, I mean, that passed like a half hour after I was done, but yeah, it was, that was pretty crazy. And so music for that wasn't really working, but I mean, I still do. It depends on what I'm doing. You know, it's, I always have headphones with me. So if I want to pop them in, but
okay,
God, I'm giving some really long-winded answers. I apologize.
No, there's no need for that. Running is something that I like doing, but just short distances. And I've done a couple 5Ks in the obstacles, Tough Mudder, all that stuff. But when it comes to running, like sometimes we'll go out to the track and I'll run a mile, and I'm like, forget this. You know, it's like I just can't do it. So you know, listening to you, it's. I don't want to say it's foreign to me, but it's like, wow, how does this guy, I guess a lot of it is mental, because shoot, man, like 1 mile, seriously. And I'm like, oh, you know,
yeah, but you know
crap.
What? you just kind of said something that, you said you go to the track and do a mile. That I avoid the track like the plague.
Okay. It's boring, right?
It is. But the thing is, it's one of those things where there's two tracks by my house that I could go to. And I probably, to be honest, For what I want to gain, I should be going to the track and doing, you know, speed work there. But I just avoid it like the plague because it is boring, man. I ran the track twice, and I wasn't doing any kind of speed work. I was just running, and I was like, this absolutely sucks. And the one time I just said, see a track, and I just kind of veered off and did another 4 miles in the neighborhood because I was like, I just can't. It was very daunting, but I guess I should probably get to it at some point, but. You know, I like running in the neighborhood. I really want to get into trail running, but there's just not a lot around me.
Okay, right.
There is I just mapped it out the other day. It's just over a mile from my house. There's an old railway where they took ties out. The tracks, the ties are all out. And I mean, it goes miles. And I've been running that. That's been my trail running around here. And I love it. I mean, I absolutely love it. And then last week, we were driving down the road and there's, you know, the big power lines that kind of go through towns.
Sure.
And I'm like, there's trails under there. So I ran over there.
Yep.
And just ran under the power lines. And I was just like, this, it's like these little golden nuggets I can find in the city here, you know, that I take advantage of. And Jason and I just, the other week we went down to Allegheny State Park, which is about an hour and a half south of Buffalo. It's like on the PA border, and that's our mountains.
Okay.
And we did, we ran a couple hiking trails. So that was just, oh my gosh, man, it was a blast. I mean, if I lived in that area, I would probably never run on a road again. It was just, I was like a kid again. It was
yeah,
just,
I saw your picture. It looked like fun.
Oh man, it was so fun, but at points dangerous, you know, like where I was like bombing down these hills and there's roots all over and rocks and I'm like hopping and I had like this huge smile on my face, but yet I'm also going, I'm going really fast and there's like a ledge over there too, but it was great. It was awesome.
I thought of something when you were talking about the track. So when you run, you mainly you go out and you run a distance run. Do you do like that kind of speed training where you'll sprint, jog, sprint? Is that not part of?
Yeah, I do some speed work, not as much as, again, as I should for what I want to gain to get faster.
Is that important to me? Okay.
For me, I mean, it's a thing with running. It's so individual. It's what you want to get out of it. You know, if some people are running for their health, some people are running to compete, some people are, you know, running because they're bored or whatever, you know, and it's kind of like a group of things for me. It's health reasons. It's I want to compete, you know, mainly against myself. I like seeing my progression, you know, even as I'm getting older, it's like I'm progressing, you know. And I like that because it shows like if you work for something, it starts paying off. Okay. And obviously when I'm at like a 5K or 10K, and even at the half marathon, I'm competing as people that are there. I'm not going to be like, no, I'm not. No, I am. Especially okay. 5K. Like, you know, and it's funny because in my first couple of years, you know, Jason and I, we would start at the like back of the pack on a 5K and just be like, oh, you know, I don't want to get in the mix. And now I'm like, I'm going right up front with the guys that are, you know, the fast dudes, and, you know, I could keep up with them pretty good, but some of these guys are coming in at, you know, 18, 19, minutes,
oh, right,
17,
right.
Yeah, 17 minutes, 16, the younger dudes. So, but I'm handling my own, especially with my age group. So
I have some other questions for you. Is there anything else you want to mention about the podcasting or running before I kind of switched?
No, I think I probably rambled on enough. People are probably getting like my wife right now just going.
No, not at all. That's, you know, that's the thing is that I love listening to people talk about anything if they're passionate about it. When people are passionate, like you're passionate about running, I think it's great because you can tell that you're passionate, and then there's so much I can learn about through that passion. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't mind. I don't think the listeners will mind.
Well, good. Hopefully that comes across in the Average Runner podcast as well. You know, people that listen to it, it's, you know, not two guys trying to act like they know everything because we don't. But it's just, especially I think me more so. I'm not obsessed with it, but it's definitely probably takes up more of my day thinking about it and stuff than sure. Jason. But he has come, I think, quite a bit from where he started, and you know, he likes to push himself as well. So hopefully that comes, you know, across in the podcast as well.
Oh, sure. Definitely. I remember when you did the very first one, I was listening to it at work and I was like, I want to go outside and run right now. It did make me want to run. You know, I was like, oh man, I should be running right now.
Yeah. A couple of people told me that. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
All right, Sean. So, what is something in your life that was like one of the biggest life changers? What's something that changed your life, either in a good way or bad way? You know,
probably when my first son was born, he was he was premature, so he was in the hospital for 3 months, and it was it was just like crazy, you know, okay. especially before he was even born. You know, you have a doctor saying, "Look, not really sure how this can go, and I need you guys to make a decision of how you want me to proceed." And you know, when someone tells you that, and it's like your first kid, you know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
This is serious, and I have to make a parental decision, and I'm not even technically a parent yet. You know what I mean? It was just, right.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, you know, and you know, he's 13 now, so everything worked out, but. That whole situation was definitely crazy, definitely crazy. So
they didn't think he would make it, or
well, because he was 3 months, he was 1 pound 12 ounces when he was born. But it was literally like two. Like they held my wife off, I think, for 3 days. I think it was. We lost track of time. Like I was sleeping at the hospital, they finally moved her into a different room where I couldn't sleep. And the first night I went home, like I just crashed super hard. And that's when I got the phone call in the middle of the night, like, you better get here. And I literally got there seconds before he was born. I think I was in the room with her. I'm not even kidding. Maybe 2 to 5 minutes and he was born. But like the first night we were there, they were just like, yeah, they check and they're like, yeah, this is definitely going to happen. Like within a couple of days, we can hold you off. And because it's so early, you know, it's just something they have to do. You know, they got to know how far do you want us to go? Okay. Or do you want to, you know, we're not religious people, but maybe someone is. And, you know, do you want to just let, you know, it take its course or what? So we just said, we basically turned it back on him and we were like, well, we want you to do what you think is going to be the best decision to do, you know?
Okay.
It was tough. It was definitely tough. And so I think that was kind of a awakening up of you're not a kid anymore, Sean.
Right. That's, after that ordeal with your son, when you have two more kids, right?
Yep.
Were you worried that would happen when they were born, or
Yeah. I mean, my daughter was the closest to full term. My other son, my youngest, Gabriel, he was a little further out than she was, but there was different circumstances. I mean, we have our own thoughts of why things happened or if things could have been prevented, maybe.
Okay.
Which sure. they did do some things for the other ones, but we kind of have our speculations and you know, in the medical field, you know, doctors aren't going to go against doctors, and there's really nothing, no reason to pursue anything. There was no reason. We had a situation we were in, and regardless of if we thought maybe something could have changed or they could have listened, you know, it you find in hospitals now, and I understand that nurses, and mostly nurses, they work their tails off and they work long hours and stuff. But, okay. You know, there's also times where you're trying to tell somebody something and they just kind of blow you off. Like, sure. No, you're not. No, you just this or that, you know, so.
Right.
But yeah, there was precautions taken with the other two.
Sean, do you, what are some of your life goals? Something you'd like to achieve in your life?
I guess, not that I want to wish time away, but I would like when it is time for me to retire and my kids are, you know, have their own families. I my wife and I say this, like, you go in stages and I look forward to, but again, not rushing it, but I look forward to that next chapter. Okay. Where it's my wife and I again, and it doesn't, I don't want that to sound like I don't want my kids around or anything, but I do look forward to that next chapter where, you know, we're more mature, we're more financially stable than we were before we had kids. And it was just her and I, where we can do things and travel and, you know, see the world, see the United States. I mean, there's so much in the United States I want to do before I even go out and travel the world. So, you know, I look forward to that, but I also look forward to, you know, hopefully my kids having, you know, a nice stable relationship, home and family and happy and stuff like that. And hopefully live a long time healthy.
Where would you like to travel first if you could?
Like I said, the US. I mean, I'd love to go out west, you know, and I always want to go to like Colorado, but I also want to go up to New England, which isn't that far away from me, you know, New England right. States. So, you know, stuff like that. Before I maybe like to go see Hawaii and Scotland and some other parts of Europe. So there's a lot of places. So hopefully we can work things out to where that can happen. You know, I don't want to be, I mean, obviously you can't do everything you want to do in life. You're always going to have things you want to do. You can't do, but I don't want to be wishing I would have done some things that I could have and I just didn't.
Sure. Right. Sean, what has been one of the biggest surprises to you in your life?
Wow. Wow, that's tough. Gosh, not to go back to it, but I think running a marathon, it was one of those things where in the beginning, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to run a marathon someday. And deep down inside, I thought that's never going to happen. And then it did. Like, I can't believe I've already done it, you know?
Yeah. That's a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah. A lot of people do it. And so it's not like I'm special or anything, but for me, myself, like I said earlier, you know, I never really had something that I was focused on and really tried to, you know, put time into and focus on like my running. And, the marathon was no different. It was a goal I set. And I think, you know, some of my friends maybe or thought, well, yeah, okay, you're going to run a marathon. You're crazy, whatever. But yeah, to be able to say I ran a marathon, it was pretty big.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's kind of boring.
No, that's, I think it'd be kind of cool to say, hey, I ran a marathon. You know what I mean?
I was having this conversation with Jason when we were driving down to Allegheny. We were talking about it because he's not run a marathon and he wants to. But you have to.
Do you wave your medal in his face?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, I'm just kidding. I know you. Trying to motivate him.
No, it's something that you have to want to do. I mean,
right?
I told him, like, dude, I will not push you to do it unless you want to do it. But you're like, not scared to do it. He had given me some reasons why he thought maybe he didn't want to do it. And I was like, look, man, you gotta want to do this for yourself, and you gotta not worry about, you know, cause some people worry about how long it's going to take and this and that. And I'm like, you know what? Even, not that it would, but I'm like, even if it took you six and a half hours, it's still faster than the guy that's sitting on the couch. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so you got to look at it that way. I mean, people will say like, oh, I just ran a half. Well, a half marathon is 13 miles. It's still a big deal. Yes. You know, I mean, I ran a half marathon a few weeks before the marathon. There's one here that we do every year. And I really pushed it this year. And I mean, it kicked my butt.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a joke.
No, it's not, because we did that Tough Mudder a couple years ago, and it was one of these things where my wife saw it. She's like, "I want to do that," and it was 12 miles running mixed in with like 20 obstacles. So you didn't run the 12 miles straight, but dude, that running freaking killed me, man. The obstacles were easy, but that running, it's like, even with stopping, I'm like, 12, gee whiz, 12 miles. This is horrible. So yeah, it's not, running is not, it's not an easy thing to do that. So, all right. So let's do, your bucket list, Sean. Tell me three things that are on your bucket list.
Man, it's kind of the same things, like, you know, travel. I definitely need to travel the U.S.
Okay, sure.
I want to see more. I want a piece of land. My wife and I talk about maybe, you know, 5-10 years, getting something where we can go with the kids and they're still younger. So more like 5 years, or within 5 years, just a little plot of land and maybe put a trailer there and have that be something that we can gradually build upon, you know, and that'll be ours. And that'll be somewhere where our family can get together once in a while and camp or whatever. So we really would like to have, hopefully maybe something out by a lake or something.
Okay.
But a piece of land. And I don't think my wife will listen to this, so I really want to run a 50-mile race.
Wow.
But I don't know if that'll happen. I mean, you really got to have some. I get up pretty darn early right now for what I do. Probably have to get up a little earlier. So I don't know if that'll happen, but that's definitely a goal.
That's pretty admirable.
We'll see.
You can do it. I read an article a long time ago, and it was actually by it was about a runner. I don't remember who or what, but he ran marathons and longer races. The thing that stuck out with me is, you know, he had a job and he had kids and stuff, and the article, they're like, how do you, you know, you have to run. I forgot if he ran like 10 miles every day or something. The interview person was how do you find time to run 10 miles every day, you know, with the job and kids and stuff. And he said, well, I get up at, you know, 4 a.m. and I do it while my kids are sleeping. Then I come home and, you know, do all the family stuff. I go to work, come home, you know, and he said, and then I come home and do what I need to do at home, maybe run a little bit. But he said, I don't sleep. I get 4 hours of sleep. I don't watch TV. I don't go to the movies. You know, it's my job, it's my kids, and it's running. And if you want to run 10 miles every day, you have to give up something.
Yeah.
And that paralleled my life with art, you know, is if you want to make art, you're going to have to make the time. But anyway, there was a really interesting article about this guy that, you know,
it sounds like Dean Karnazes.
Oh, really?
He's a guy who ran 50 marathons, 50 states, and kind of the same, that it's kind of his thing. Like he got up real early and ran, and then took care of his family and did his stuff. But you know, that is so true, Christopher. It's like it's not just with running. I mean, I get up at 4:15 every morning, and sometimes I don't get to bed till like 11:30.
Right.
Because again, like it's summer vacation, so the kids are up later, and I kind of have to, you know, I'm their dad and I'm my wife's husband. I got to help out. I can't just be like, well, I'm going to bed, because I can't run after work that often. I do it sometimes. I did it today. I don't particularly like it because I've been at work all day. I do work in a factory. So it's, you know, I'm working a physical job. So, but aside from that, you know, the kids are home and I can't be gone all day at work and come home and be like, hey, hon, I'm going to go pound out an hour of running or something. You know, it's just not fair. Just like it's not fair if I'm going to bed at 9 o'clock every night and making her take care of the kids. So, you know what? I have to, I'm tired sometimes, but that's you. And that goes for anything, you know, it's not just running, like you said, art or whatever your thing is. Like if you want to do something, people have so many excuses why they, oh, I don't have time to do this or that. And it's like, well, that's why I get up.
Right.
That's why I get up at 4:15. Cause guys at work be like, Jesus, man, what time do you get up? I'm like 4:15. You already ran. Yeah. I ran 6 miles this morning. They're like, I don't get up till six. I'm like I want to run. I have right. to, that works the best. And honestly, I get the best runs that way because I'm fresh. You know, I wake up, my alarm goes off, boom, I'm up. I'm not one of those people that have to hit snooze all the time. I used to be years ago, probably more when I would drink, but I don't really drink anymore, you know, occasionally, whatever, but I just don't like the way I feel in the morning.
Sure.
But you got to make the time, you know, and I probably should have touched on this when we were talking about it more, but like the Average Runner podcast, it's really what it's about. It's not about how fast you can run or how long you can run, you know, your distance, or if you're running 5Ks or if you're whatever you're running. The point of it is Jason and I are two guys who are married. We have children. We work. We have, you know, quote unquote, normal lives. But we find time to do what we want to do. And that's, I mean, there are times where I have to, like today, my family's not home. They were gone for a couple of days, but last week, you know, I couldn't get up one morning. I got up and I was just so darn tired. I went to bed real late and I told my wife, like, look, I just need to go. And I was gone for 30 minutes. So she's like, all right, that's, sure, you know, and I do that more because I would feel guilty going after work, you know?
Right. Right.
And I can't go after dinner because when I have done that in the past, I want to puke.
Right.
You know, so, and then I used to try to wait for the kids to go to bed and then jump on the treadmill, like over the winter. And by 10 o'clock, I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting on anything. I'll just hit it harder. I'll hit it harder tomorrow. So now that it is going to be rough when winter comes here. I'm going to have to get up at 4:15 and run on this stinking treadmill, but I'm thankful I have it. But it's like anything. You make the time, you know.
Right.
A lot of people make excuses and, I mean, you know, you just, You want to draw? Well, you got to, if you can't do it now, then you might have to go to bed later or get up early.
Right. Definitely. Okay, Sean, I got a few more for you. You got some more time?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good. What is something in your life that you would redo if you could or change?
Done better in school, paid more attention, applied myself, I guess. I guess that's the answer. Applied myself more, not to do better. I mean, I just didn't apply myself. I was too concerned with getting out of there and cutting out early or whatever. And, you know, I would have liked to have had a better career than what I have. I'm thankful for what I have, the job I have, but it's not, you know, I always wanted to be a photographer, but.
Oh, wow.
That's, you have to go to school for that, but it probably wouldn't have hurt.
Do you do photography still?
Not really. I mean, like everybody, I mean, use your phone now for everything and you can manipulate them so much. Right. I would love to get a DSLR camera someday, but you know, it's just with the family, it's that's a hobby that I just can't afford right now.
Right.
But someday I may. And I always joke around my wife that maybe I'll get a booth next to hers at an art show and sell my photographs.
That'd be awesome.
It's something I would like to pursue, but again,
here's one for you, Sean. What is a piece of advice that you would like to share with me and the audience about any subject, any topic, just something that you would like for people to know or do or listen to?
I guess if there's something you want to do and you're not doing it for whatever reason, especially if it's like, you know, it's whole, like for podcasting, for instance, you know, some people want a podcast, but maybe they don't want to hear themselves, or they think people aren't going to want to hear whatever. Just do it. Just try, you know, you never know, you know, how it's going to turn out. I can tell you, my wife would attest to this, that since I started podcasting, I'm definitely, it's changed me. I mean, I'm still not the most outgoing guy at the party, but I'm way more outgoing than I used to be.
Okay.
Since I've started podcasting, the past 4 or 5 or whatever years it's been, it's changed me that way, I guess, made it easier for me to talk with people.
Okay.
I mean, she used to be the one that would have to carry me through that. And now it's almost, we joke that it's almost kind of reversed now where I'm kind of like take that role on. And again, it's not in every situation. So, I mean, if there's something you want to try to do, you know, you just, again, like you and I both said, make time to do it if it's something, but just give it a shot, you know, whatever it is. If, and again, to relate it to running, if it's running, but you think people are going to laugh at you or you're not going to be as fast or whatever, who cares? You know, you're always faster. You're always running more miles. You're always, you know, looking better than somebody who just ain't doing it. And that probably could, I think you could apply probably to a lot of things.
Sure. No, that's a good point. All right, Sean, I got one more question for you.
All right, throw me a softball.
All right, here we go. What, tell me something that in your life that's happened or that you've experienced that was just, I think I know what you're going to say, but, what, tell me something.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Besides the marathon, tell me something that's just been tremendously exciting in your life that you just want to share.
Wow. Marathon. Thank you. Not that this is exciting, but I can't think of anything like super exciting. I don't want to be like, oh, every time my kids were born or the day I get married, but not that like super exciting, but just this whole thing with the people I've met through podcasting.
Okay.
You know, people, my co-host and you've been on our show Throwback Reviews. You know, I've met some people through that show by reaching out and asking people to come on, and I've just met a lot of cool people. I think the internet gets a bad rap at times, and rightfully so. There's a lot of crap, you know, on the internet and with Facebook or whatever. There's a lot of stuff, but I really, honestly, truly try to just make it work for me,
right?
And not pay attention to all that, like the garbage out there and stuff.
Right.
I've met a lot of cool people and met a lot of people I consider friends, people like you that I've never met in person. You know, hopefully someday I like to meet a lot of you guys, but you know, this has been a really cool experience. You know, there's times where I've thought about stopping podcasting because of, you know, just time or whatever and feel burnt out. And it's kind of when I just kind of took a break and stepped back and was like, you know what? I'm not going to give it up, but I'm just going to kind of try to not take such a, not that I was ever serious about it, but more of a relaxed approach. And because I want to continue talking with people like you and Rob and Vic and, you know, Zerbinator and it just all the cool people that I've met. It's crazy.
I totally agree. That's my favorite thing about, well, for me, you know, cause I just only the seventh episode of this podcast, but, with the podcasting, especially the art, is just meeting so many interesting, exciting, nice, fun people. You know, it's great. It's awesome.
I mean, there's schmucks out there, but you can pick and choose,
exactly.
Who you deal with. And you know, you and I have talked about this before. You know, you, where you live, you know, you said there's not a lot of people that are into to artwork the way that you are. And so the nice thing about this is we can find people that have the same interests and do this. You know, I don't think you or I or Rob or anybody are trying to be, you know, the next like Adam Carolla podcast or huge, you know, but obviously, you know, we do this and we're hoping people are listening and getting some sort of joy from what we're doing or, you know, enjoying the shows. But just the fact of, like I said, with Throwback Reviews now, it's kind of gotten to where it's not so important to me other than it's just that reason for me to get together with my buddy Rob once a month now and BS.
Sure.
And it's about the movie, but we're still
just hanging out, right?
Hanging out, you know? So I think that's probably been a really cool experience is just this whole podcasting.
Awesome. Definitely. Okay, Sean, that's all the questions I have. I mean, I could keep talking to you for hours, but is there anything that I failed to bring up or something you wanted to elaborate on?
Just if both my, you know, my podcast, Throwback Reviews, and The Average Runner, and I have a third show, OTR Playlist, which has been on it. I put that on a shelf. That's all about old-time radio. I just didn't have time for it anymore, but it's still on the shelf. I can dust it off and bring it out when I want. But this show, Tupacast, they're all on Throwback Network, which is a testing network of all retro-type podcasts. Okay. That it's something that I started with Rob O'Hara, my co-host, Throwback Reviews. We discussed it a few years back. It was more his idea. He gives me credit for it a lot of times, but really what happened was it was his idea to have one centralized website where we got a bunch of podcasts that were retro themed, and you know, we could drive people to that network, and then they could find other shows that are on there that maybe somebody never heard of Tupacast, but because we'll plug the network and someone goes, you go, what's this Tupacast? Oh, that's pretty cool. The interviews. Oh, I've heard of Vic Sage. Let me listen to this interview type. You know what I mean? So, and it's a free network. The only cost to be on the network, the only thing, and to be honest, it's not like we kick people off. They don't, but all we ask is that people plug the network, because really that was the idea, was just to share listeners and to gain listeners from other shows. And so Rob had the idea, where I'll take credit is it was an idea and it was something that we talked about, but I finally pushed the issue to do it. So it was really his idea. It was his brainchild, and I thought it was great. And we talked about it for a couple months here and there. And then I was at work one day and I'm like, I'm going to buy the domain name because this is ridiculous. We need to do this. And then it was just downhill from there. So he does a lot of the behind the scenes, all the technical type stuff. He's the computer whiz guy. So, you know, I've done some things with the website, but mostly it's him. In the beginning, I think I was trying to pursue some people, but he's definitely taken on that role, or even where I'll just get an email from somebody and I'll forward it to him and be like, have you heard of the show? Because he's more into the retro computing. I like listening to it, but he knows it. Okay. So I'll be like, hey, check out this show. You know, they're just enjoying the network. What do you think? And he'll be like, yep, added. Boom. So,
oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. We just added a couple shows this week, and we're like totaling like 29 shows on the network. So, awesome. I mean, Average Runner, it's not retro, but it's, if you go to the website, if you go to throwbacknetwork.net, all the shows are on the right hand sidebar, and at the bottom, it'll say sponsors. And, I have it as a sponsor because I pay for the web hosting.
Sure, sure.
So I just put it up there. So we just say it's a sponsor.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, very good. Okay, well, awesome, Sean. Man, I really appreciate the chance to get to talk to you, and for you opening up and sharing. And that was really good. Thank you for that. That was cool.
No, yeah, it was a good time. I too could sit here and chit chat for a long time, but 4 o'clock comes pretty early.
Right. Sure. All right. Well, then I guess I'm gonna let you go. So everybody check out Sean Johnson.
It's throwbackreviews.com and the Average Runner podcast.com. And then they're both on the throwbacknetwork.net.
All right, cool, Sean. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Tupacast. Tupacast can be found on iTunes or at ctupa.com/tupacast. Christopher will create original art relating to each podcast that will be for sale on the website. Proceeds from the sale of art will go to help pay for the hosting fees. If you have a topic idea for a podcast or would like to be a guest on Tupacast, email tupacastpodcast@gmail.com. Feedback and comments are also welcomed at iTunes and via email. We hope you have enjoyed listening to Tupacast. Bye!
Power to the people, man.
Tupacast.
That's a good thing, right? What? Click, click, click.
I want my tater tots. I want my tater tots.
Yeah. Time to say goodnight, bro.